think it's Montero, isn't it?
Who?
Lil Nas X.
What about him?
The demons in hell that he pole dances on. And then he, I want to impress them.
I don't know who they are. I don't know their names.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, if I end up somehow being invaded by a bunch of hot demons, then I want them to be impressed. And right now, oh my in my God. Underwear, I don't feel that way, especially when I'm asleep.
Oh my God.
No one ever accused me of being logical. I'm just speaking my truth.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the podcast where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas over our favorite characters from Degrassi The Next Generation. I'm Keely Bell, and you can join me every week with a special guest to talk about how these characters did whatever it takes and how exactly they made it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas, a Degrassi The Next Generation podcast. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I am joined with
Daniela Herman, your roommate and friend.
I'm gonna do what Aaron did to me last time. You're not just my friend, Daniel. You're my best friend. Say it.
I'm your best friend.
Thank you. That's better. That's better.
You're welcome. So,
how have you been?
You
were on last week, so like this isn't.
Yeah, I've been good. I'm reaching the end of my contract with the Siren.
Yes, the saga. The listener doesn't know.
Oh yeah. I am now working at a brunch place, and I have my mother wrote a 2 weeks notice letter without my permission for my Starbucks job, because I was just saying, you know, I'll probably quit, and I'll probably like I'll have one single job by my birthday. And she's like, yeah, cool, bet. Here's a quit letter. And I labeled it for the 9th of April. Whoops. Yeah, you said May 1st, and I said, that's so cute. April 9th. So it's time to move on to brunchier pursuits.
I feel that, and I love that for you, and I'm very excited for you to finally be working places that value you.
Right?
I've been okay. It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I kept it in the cold open. Editing Keely will find out. I probably didn't, but I haven't been sleeping well this week. And that's been a little bit rough on me, but that's okay because I'm feeling good now and I'll probably sleep well tonight. I'm kind of feeling it in my bones. And because I've been like nearly passing out all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, small mental breakdown again. It's fine. It's cool. I had to talk about it in therapy yesterday.
We're keeping things jazzy.
Yeah, you know, just when I think I'm coming out of one mental breakdown, I am propelled back into another. And that's okay. I was listening to the last 5 years, couple days ago.
Hey, not to victim blame, but why would you do that to yourself?
Good question. Good fucking question. Because I put on a playlist that I forgot had the last 5 years in it. And then I was like, well, looks like I'm, doing this today. But I did skip over, what song was it that came on that I was like, no, too sad. It wasn't a Kathy song. No, it was, because it was, it went straight from, what was it? It went straight from one big emotional song to See I'm Smiling, and I was like, no.
No. See, that one ruins my day every time.
Yeah, because I think the song went from Dogfight, which is a big emotional song, to See I'm Smiling. And I was like, no, not today. I already just sang both parts of Dogfight.
Yeah, the emotional roller coaster. There has to be some aftercare for you.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Moving too fast. That's the aftercare. Okay, so yeah, this isn't a Broadway podcast. This is a Degrassi The Next Generation podcast. And it's a special one today.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's very unfortunate that I am so sleep deprived. So unfortunate, because I've been so excited for this episode this entire time. That's why I waited so long. We are talking about the man, the Manny, the myth, the legend, Manny
Ooh,
Santos.
Yeah.
We've finally gotten here. We've gotten to my favorite and yours. Like, honestly, if you ask any Degrassi fan who their favorite character is, if Manny's not their number one favorite character, she's in the top three.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, like, that's why I'm considering, we're going to skip over our general opinions of Manny because we know our general opinions of Manny. So instead of our general opinions on Manny, what's your favorite Manny moment, Daniel?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to say when, and this will be a plot point that I talk about later, but Manny standing up to Paige and getting back on the cheer squad.
Oh, great one.
Honestly, like, because it culminates so well into, like, her friendship with Emma, but also, like, she can still have a life that is her own and taking ownership of, like, her interests, her power, her needs, and she just takes charge. I'm always like, I want that energy all the time.
Honestly, so you're talking about, like, her early, like, her, when Paige first started the Spirit Squad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love early Manny as much as I love later Manny. Like, obviously so many people, they love Manny for the, like, sexual liberation of it all. They love the thong. They love the fun outfits. And yeah, those are all great reasons to love Manny. But, like, I think she's been great this whole time.
Exactly.
And even as, like, her as being Emma's, like, cutesy little second banana, like, she was a standout. Like, they gave her such cute, funny lines. Like, this isn't my favorite Manny moment, but when I just said cute, funny lines, I'm instantly thought up, like, when Emma had the science fair thing and she had, you know, Spinner eating vegetables and Manny eating chocolate, and she was thinking of the mind-body connection, and she asks Manny, like, well, why are you doing so well when you're eating garbage? And Manny's like, because chocolate tastes like happy. And it's so, like that specifically stands out in my head because it's like they gave her such awesome, funny, that pratfall. That might actually, like, it's that's also not my favorite Manny moment. I can't say that it is. But this is even before, this is another thing that's before, you know, the I want to be hot stuff. When Manny runs to Sean for Spike and Snake's wedding and she pratfalls onto the ground.
Yes. And, like, don't get me wrong, I love sexual liberated Manny. Yeah. I love her through and through. But it really is, like, those early, like, honestly, from the pilot, we get the sense of, oh, Manny's here and she's ready. She's ready the entire time. She stayed definitely ready.
So, yeah, my favorite Manny moment has to be when Manny got dress coded for wearing her thong, her visible thong, for everyone to see. And then the next day she comes to school in those, like, really low cut jeans, and she's at her locker and Emma is like, Manny, didn't Mr. Radich say no dressing like that anymore? And Manny goes, Mr. Radich said no visible underwear. Do you see any underwear? And Emma's like, no. And she's like, that's because I'm not wearing any. And it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. And I remember that when that happened. I'm like, she's wearing denim.
That is queen shit, but also a yeast infection waiting to happen.
Listen, queen shit sometimes means a yeast infection.
Truly. Cassie Steele obviously is, like, one of my idols from this show. And she's just so funny. Her delivery is always on point, and they wrote wonderfully for her. Some characters we cannot say the same for.
Well, because she was one of the first characters out of the gate, we were able to establish that she gets to be funny, she gets to be observant, but she also gets to make fun mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Her mistakes are always, oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like where Emma's is like, oh my God, of course. Very, very protagonist-y mistakes. Whereas Manny's is like, oh, God damn it, Manny.
Yeah, like, why? Yeah. Yeah, I guess we can lean on into our three sentences now. So how would you describe Manny's arc in three sentences?
Manny Santos begins her path as a fervent, lovable best friend. She moves through her youth with confidence, limited understanding, but also fearlessness. Mm. In the end, she's still an incredible best friend, but a hero in her own right.
Ah, wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Okay. Manny Santos starts her time on this show as an unassuming sidekick, period. Once she develops... Once she develops her values and way of getting what she wants, she solidifies herself as a fan favorite, period. In the end, through many trials of her own doing, she comes out as a perfect amalgamation of what she was before and what she wanted to be, period.
Lovely.
Thank you. I hope with editing I can make that sound a little bit more graceful. But yeah, so I guess we can dive on into our first plot point.
Hey Keely, and whatever special guest was chosen for this very special Manny-centric episode, it's Tish here, and I just wanted to send a voice note with my favorite Manny moment. There's so many to choose from. I guess the biggest one would be the cultural reset in season 3 with that song. But my favorite one comes from season 4 when she's fighting with Paige and she yells, "Hey, Mr. Pedophile, I mean Oleander." I don't know, that fight is just amazing. It might not be Manny's best moment, but that fight between her and Paige always makes me laugh, and I can quote that entire fight, and it's like, when I'm coming up to that episode, I'm like, oh, that moment's here. Anyway, thank you so much for the pod. Can't wait to hear this episode. Have a great day.
So, my first plot point is Manny joining the Spirit Squad. Mm-hmm. So this is Manny's first, like, plot where she gets to break away from Emma's protagonist-y main character-ness. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's the one who gets to make the decision as to whether or not she will stay with the old or go with the new.
Right.
Paige.
Terry. Terry's Oracle.
Terry's Oracle. She said, join the Spirit Squad.
She said, go with the new, honey.
She said, go with the new, babe. Go with the new. Change it up. Change your life around. So Paige starts a Spirit Squad. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know why we couldn't call it a cheerleading team or a cheer team.
They never ever. Call it a cheer team ever.
Yeah, they never do, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know why they went Spirit Squad, Power Squad, Power Cheer,
Power Rangers, Ranger Rick, Rick and Morty. Murray. Shoot JT York. Wait, nope. You didn't shoot JT York. Okay. So Paige Michalczuk starts the Spirit Squad, and Manny does a rather killer cartwheel, showing I have abilities and interests outside of my best friend. Mm-hmm. Good for you. So she decides to go out.
Can't relate, Manny.
Can't relate, ma'am. I'm so sorry.
My best friend and I have all the same interests, so...
We have all the same interests. We, sometimes we share thoughts. It's very odd. Manny goes out for the Spirit Squad, even though Emma's like, that's sexist. Mm-hmm. And Manny's like, you're boring.
Yeah.
And because she's good, like, actively good. Yeah. But tiny. So... Paige is a little confused. She's like, what is this child doing better than half the girls in my grade?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to give you a chance. And So Manny, Paige, and Hazel.
Yeah. Right?
They all start hanging out. Did we ever see Hazel cheer in like a serious capacity? I can't remember.
Yeah, she was on the squad. Yeah.
Like she was there. Like,
yeah.
Not like, really displaying any feats of athleticism.
Though. No. Well, that's the thing. None of them do.
Yeah.
Except Manny.
Yeah. And like Paige, obviously, like, I don't know why I never expect anything from Paige other than just
the best lines. And...
Just the best lines. Like, yeah. Obviously, Paige is going to do a backflip that would ruin her hair.
Exactly.
But Hazel, lazy. And so I think, like, once Manny sort of joins in with the popular girls, which is, you know, then all of a sudden Emma gets, you know, butthurt about things.
Mm-hmm.
And writes a full article.
Oh.
About the power thread being thick.
How about, this is your headline, Emma. Local seventh grader... calls athletic middle school girls sluts. How about that, Emma?
And like, I always really liked this plot because, you know, when I was a child, I would have been on Emma's side.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're told in this dichotomy, we were part of the generation that sort of fed this idea that cheerleaders. Yeah. Were bad guys.
Yeah, always. Bimbos, bad guys.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Only positive cheer representation, Kimberly Possible.
Kimberly J. Possible.
and even then, one of the main antagonists was Bonnie, the other cheerleader.
The other cheerleader, yeah.
So, like, it's one of those things where, like, we're constantly in, sort of inundated with this idea that cheerleaders are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But Manny ends up having to make a choice of, hey, do I stay with these cheerleaders or do I follow my best friend who is currently behaving like a dick?
Right.
And then, of course, we have to introduce a little bit more just to show that it's not all one-sided. Paige and Hazel do tear up this article.
Right.
And then and Manny, I think she joins in, right? Like she
rips one. They make her rip one, and then she's like, guys, I don't like this.
Yeah, like, she's definitely uncomfortable. She's not, like, molding into peer pressure fully.
Yeah.
But then Paige adds insult to injury and says, let's just blame Hazel for everything.
Yeah.
Like, Paige said, hey, my first best friend can't do backflips, so she's no longer of use to me. Let's blame Hazel and get her thrown off this team.
Yeah.
And then in the end, you know, shenanigans happen and Manny still decides, hey, I'm going to leave this squad and also mend my relationship with best friend. But then I'm also going to go back onto this squad and be like, hey, I'm actually the only athlete here in this school, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one kid, Marco, can break dance a little bit.
A little bit.
But like... you need me. Yeah, this leads into my favorite moment where she decides, hey, I'm not going to do your standard television thing of, you know, obviously stand with your best friend and fuck all the rest of them. It's, I'm going to, you know, have my loyalty to my best friend, but also I'm going to pursue things that I like.
Right.
And I'm not going to, like, side with the nerd thing because that's not who I am as a person.
Exactly.
I'm going to do backflips over here, but we're still friends.
Oh, I was going to say, and you know, that was an excellent, like, it was an excellent way to begin the Manny Paige, like, kind of conflict that we see throughout the rest of the time on the show.
I loved that beginning of, like, we're planting the seed of this is going to be the thing.
Yeah, like, it was so clear, like, because obviously Manny is not expendable. Like, Paige can't just let her go, and Manny knows that she needs her, and that's kind of their whole thing for their entire relationship, is they're forced to be okay with each other in a cheer squad sense because the cheer squad needs Manny, and Paige is the cheer squad captain. But they don't like each other because Manny has thoughts and opinions.
Yeah. And Paige does not do well with dissenting opinions.
Exactly. That's why Hazel is her best friend. Cause Hazel over here, like, No thoughts, head empty.
And you know what? We need those bitches around. We need really Hazel's do. Around.
I agree. Hazel, she did her thing. But yeah, like I love that plot for Manny. And it was such a, like those early seasons really do an excellent job of planting and paying off later.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. Even like, even back in the beginning, in our first episode, Manny's the one who's like, "Hey, I have to go get my friend now."
Yeah, yeah. She's the woman of action.
Yes, Manuela Santos, woman of action.
Woman of action. So, I guess that kind of leads into my first point, which so I'm going to be talking about Manny's slight into sexual liberation, but I can't do that without first mentioning what she's like before. So like you said, she is very much Emma's second banana, very much the best friend type who, you know, is her loyalties are often challenged from what her interests are to her loyalty to Emma, blah, blah, blah. And she's that entire time very cute. Like, you look at her and you're like, oh, she's so stinking adorable. She's got these big old cheeks and these big old dimples. And she dresses cute. Like, she has, like, pigtails a lot of the time with, like, little braids and fun, funky hair. But it's never anything. Like, she doesn't dress like Paige. Paige is walking around with her belly out all the time and her platform sandals and, you know, all of those. Like, she dressed like a quintessential early 2000s hot girl. Whereas, you know, Emma and Manny were just kind of like girls.
Yeah. You know, girls. Children.
Yeah. Children. How children should be. And then in season three, we'll touch on this more in Ships, but it's important to bring up the inciting incident of this, which is her iconic date with Craig. My favorite trope, when I write something that is episodic and it will have an episode like this where you see one thing from one person's perspective and that same thing from the other person's perspective, and Manny and Craig's date, chef's kiss, iconic, where we see that when she goes on this date with Craig, the hottest guy in school in season two. Yeah, it is season two. In season two, that she saw it as this beautiful romantic date, but Craig saw it as her being so young and babyish and very much not something that he's attracted to, which leads him to go to Ashley. And Manny takes that to heart and she goes, well, if Craig went on a date with me and saw a little bitch baby, guess I can't be that anymore. And she decides in season three, in iconic episode, You Got the Look, that she's going to be hot. She's not going to be cute anymore. No more pigtails. No more denim on denim. Yeah, Manny decides that she will now be hot. And it works for her. It works for her very well. As we all know, it is the scene. It is the big scene when she puts on the bedazzled blue thong and she walks down the hallways. It didn't start out with a thong. It started out with just sexier clothes in general. And yeah, she makes JT run into the pole. That's one of my favorite tropes about this show. My first favorite trope is girl having problems wakes up before her alarm. They do it all the time. Same. With Emma, with Paige, I'm sure with Claire at one point. Girl having problems, she's already awake and her alarm goes off. Second one is boys, specifically JT York, running into things when they are in emotional duress. Like, he runs into the pole when Liberty tells him that she's pregnant. He runs into a pole or like a fence or something on his skateboard when he sees Manny in her hot outfit for the first time.
And he runs into that knife when...
when the fucking what's-his-face peeing on his car.
I'm sorry.
He ran into my knife 10 times. But yeah, so Manny is turning a lot of heads and she's noticing the attention, and it makes her feel good because, like any teenage girl, male attention feeds her ego. And
I'm a teenage girl.
Yes, we're all just out here looking for male approval, and it sucks. And we're trying to unlearn it. Look, we're trying. It's not working. And especially not in the year 2004. And Manny,
the dark days.
Yeah. So Manny is like, we gotta bump it up. We gotta, like, we've already hit him with the velour tracksuits. we gotta bump it up. And so she finds a thong in the mall, and unbeknownst to Emma, like, Emma's like, wow, Manny, your new look is pretty cool. Unbeknownst to Emma, Manny intends to wear this thong in a visible way. Obviously, she struts her ass down the hall, and everyone's like, oh my god, that's something that's never been seen before. A whale tail? Pff, mind blown. And Mr. Radich dress codes her.
Whales.
Thanks. And Mr. Radich dress codes her. And so Manny decides to come to school the following day in a pair of super low-rise jeans. And Emma's like, girl, didn't Mr. Radich already dress code you? And then she says the iconic line, that's because I'm not wearing any underwear. My 14-year-old brain, blown. I am obsessed with that line. I live and breathe that line. I've never once gone commando, but, like, just to have that moment, just to be like, I'm not wearing any underwear. Just, and, like, it's so iconic. And then you remember she's 14. And then you're like, ew.
Yeah. But
still iconic. Still iconic. It was iconic when I was looking up to 14-year-olds. And so this newfound, like, sexuality in Manny really leads her to some troubling places. Whereas, you know, it's the teenage girl thing of, like, I've got all this male attention. This male attention's making me feel good. But then you're expected to maintain the male attention. It's the kind of, like, you know, when they teach you about getting drunk in college, and they're like, you know, you're always just chasing that first buzz. Like, that's kind of what it's like. It's like, yeah. She got the first buzz. She got the first buzz when she first started dressing sexy. And then it's like, all right, well, she's dressing sexy. Now what? And as teenage boys do, they start expecting more from you. And Manny is expecting herself to keep up with that, which is fucked up.
Yeah, she's entered the rat race that is the patriarchy.
Exactly. And, you know, there are times in this plot where Emma is in the right, meaning Manny is doing all of this for the wrong reasons. Usually the reason is Craig Manning. And so, yeah, Emma's like, you know, Manny's doing this for the wrong reasons. She's not doing this for liberation at this point. She's doing this to steal boys from their girlfriends, which is what happens with Manny and Craig. Because while Craig is dating Ashley, Ashley's the fucking worst and is a shrew. And he's, you know, feeling all kinds of ways about Ashley, and rather than just break up with her, he cheats on her with Manny.
Hey guys, editing Keely here. Just wanted to clarify that neither Manny nor Ashley should be blamed for Craig's decisions. We made that clear in the Craig episode, but this isn't to assume you've already listened to the Craig episode. So we're just telling it here from the perspective of Manny's development, because this is Manny's episode. So yeah, neither Manny nor Ashley are to blame for Craig cheating on Ashley. It's all Craig. Anyway, continue.
To be watching this as somebody younger than them, and you're like, oh, I want to be Manny so bad.
And she even says the show's tagline, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. And then whatever she kisses Craig takes. Right on the mouth. Aww. And then Craig ends up cheating on her with Manny in that way. And, you know, taking Manny's virginity, where, you know, she 100% was not truly ready, but she, you know, put on a brave face as if she was.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the sad and fucked up part of it all. So, yeah, leading into my second plot point, that whole Craig and Manny thing happens, and she ends up pregnant. And, you know, she, and it's another one of those things where she, it, and it's funny because it's like you said, she starts out so sure of herself, so like self-assured and knowing what she wants and knowing how to go after it. And I really do think that it is the fact that she grew up in such a repressive household that she comes out not knowing what she wants and wanting only to impress and like get male approval, Craig's approval specifically.
Yeah. She so wants to appease Craig.
There you go. So that he'll stay with her. And when she ends up pregnant and she and Craig are together, like they've never been publicly together. And finally he finds out that she's pregnant. He has a whole, you know, pre-bipolar disorder situation about it. And she finally has Craig all to herself. She has basically everything she's wanted in a fucked up kind of way. And she still is realizing that she doesn't want the baby. And yeah. I think, and this, and it's not, I think it's pretty clear. This is the turning point for Manny where we've got two seasons worth of, is it two seasons or like a season and a half? We've got a season's worth of build up where her intentions and her like wants and needs are all over the place, all in the fucked up directions, that we finally realize, or she finally realizes, all I've wanted has not been for me, even if it was like, it's not been for my best, for my benefit. And this is the first thing I'm going to be doing in a while that is indeed for my benefit. And she decides to have the most, the abortion heard around the world.
Oh God. Why was it so loud?
Because it was controversial. It was the most controversial abortion of the early 2000s. They didn't air it in America. It was so controversial, but also so important for the time. Like the fact that it was controversial means it was important for the time.
Yeah.
And it certainly was a turning point for Manny because from that point on, she does nothing but like aim for her own goals. And that is, you know, important for her character. And part of, I think, why everyone loves her character so much is that after like once she really takes the reins on her own life and is like, yeah, I have too much of a future. Like I can't waste my teen years being a mother. You know, in her eyes, it's a waste.
Yeah.
Like once she really takes those reins and decides to better her life in that way, then she's a, like, she metamorphosizes into, or like she poke evolves into like a newer, more improved Manny Santos who, you know, she can still maintain her sexuality and maintain her fun loving, freewheeling like attitude about things that we love her for, but be doing it for her. And that's what I love about Manny. So I guess that leads up to your next plot point.
Yes. Basically, my next two plot points kind of feed almost directly into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about the plastic surgery plot point, everyone. Manny Santos decides she's going to be an actress. She goes out for an audition. And someone, an adult, rather, says, hey, you know what sucks? Your titties.
Bernice Fine, that's her name. Say her name.
Bernice Fine said,
"An asshole.
You need to dump those lumps." Is exactly what she says.
Is exactly what she says.
And so she's So she's now going to pursue a breast augmentation.
Yeah. And circling back to Bernice Fine for just a split second, I've always said this. I still say this to this day. That was a missed opportunity for a racism plotline for Manny. Like, Degrassi really shied away from racism a lot.
Yeah, they did. Like,
a lot. And if they did tackle it, it was either really small or super ridiculously blown out of proportion, such as the hashtag Black Lives Matter episode of Next Class.
Oh, Frankie, you racist.
Frankie, you racist piece of
Meanwhile,
shit. Meanwhile, yeah, like, the Bernice Fine situation with Manny, I really feel, because she straight up says, you need to stop eating the rice and beans, which is clearly a microaggression. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It's like, even like, I don't know much about Filipino cuisine, but even if she were just assuming that Manny was, say, Mexican or some other kind of Latinx ethnicity, that's also a microaggression.
Yeah.
And those things should have been mentioned. And honestly, Manny, as an Asian actress, is going to have a hard time in Hollywood, and they never address it.
Yeah.
And but yeah, go on. Sorry.
No, you're 100% correct. Because like this, this plot line is so interesting because like we've told this young girl that she needs to drastically go under another medical procedure. Mm-hmm. This girl mm-hmm. has already had a whole fetus removed from her body,
a whole abortion,
and now she has to go and insert some titties where some titties mm-hmm. are, you know, they're growing to the size where they need to be growing.
Exactly. It's like you're 17.
Yeah, girl, you're a junior in high school. This is not the time for breast augmentation.
16, even.
I think she was like 16. I think.
Yeah.
So she's going for breast augmentation. She puts it on the family credit card.
Mm-hmm. Which like dumb bitch moves.
But like, you know what? When I was 16 and I put some ill-advised purchases on a credit card, I was like, my parents aren't going to see this. Who pays the bills, Daniel? Who pays the bills?
Who sees the statement?
See, it all goes back to mom and dad. It's never, the card never is going to call the teenager. It's never going to do it.
They're never going to be like, oh.
Hey, dude, could you step out of math class for a second? What the fuck is this? You owe me $800. Back to Manny's mistake of putting a down payment on her boobies on a credit card that is not hers. That purchase doesn't end up working out in her favor, and she gets mm-hmm. slut shamed by her father.
By her own father.
Mm-hmm. And she, since she's already been slut shamed by everyone else in her fucking life.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, this is, and I relate to this on a personal level. I didn't try and purchase boobies for myself, mm-hmm. but I did, you know, I made some mistakes as a teenager, and you know, when your family who has refused to give you the sex talk because it's embarrassing,
right.
Just assume you're smart enough, you took health class, you figured it out. We don't have to do any of this.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you behave sexually and then all of a sudden the slut word comes out.
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh my God, I'm Manny Santos.
I am an icon.
I am Manuela Santos. I have been slut shamed by my parents for taking just one low res picture of my penis, just for my own reference.
And you know, it's, thank you for bringing up the slut shaming aspect, because that was something I didn't touch on at first. But yeah, like Manny, she spends a lot of her time being judged for her sexuality and being, you know, assumed certain things by certain people. And it's fucked up. And when, you know, she thinks she can depend on her family, but, you know, obviously she cannot.
Yeah.
And her dad ends up being just like the rest of the men that she's encountered. And that sucks for her.
Yeah, that he really does fail her in mm-hmm. that in that respect, and it's really sad. And
yeah,
that
and it makes me sad that like we never really have to watch Joseph, that we know his name is now. We never really have to watch Joseph earn Manny's, you know, trust back. She just kind of does.
And the sad thing is that that's
reality.
That's reality. You know, like in a perfect world, dads would be able to earn back people's trust after earn back their own kids' trust when they say fucked up shit. And the reality is you're stuck with your father unless you choose to not be.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I was at work the other day and a kid showed up late and their family was going through a lot currently because they just had a new baby. And so I was like, oh yeah, you know, they're late. It's, you know, new baby stuff probably. And dad dropped off and like, he sat, he like got down on his knees, looked the kid in the eye. And he was like, hey man, I'm sorry about this morning. Are you going to have a good day today? And then they had a whole thing and he was like, yeah, I'm going to have a good day. And I got like choked up because my parents have never apologized to me in their lives.
Yeah, that, my parents were better than yours, I think, about apologizing, not by a lot, but they, but like,
yeah,
I remember when, oh my god, they're apologizing to me.
Yeah,
and it's never about things that I was upset about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My parents' way of apologizing was my dad's way of apologizing is getting me things. So he would like, I think his love language is gift
giving,
because like anytime we would have a fight, he would never apologize, but he would like give me like a teddy bear or something with like a note maybe that says like, hey, like, it's never, it was never an I'm sorry, but it was always along the lines of like, hey, that shouldn't have happened the other day, but you need to know that when you act like that, it makes me blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. That he was gaslighting me, but I got a teddy bear out of it, so it's great.
Oh yeah, but this leads into, you know, she can't get her boobies,
yeah,
but she's still like in this idea of, you know, I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to go forth, be confident, and she goes to a party with Peter Stone. And
with Peter Stone.
And listen, if you ever want to start a story and just make sure everyone knows it's going to end poorly, please say you went to a party with Peter Stone, because there's no. That never ends correctly.
No, never. Not a one time.
And why? Because Peter Stone don't know how to act right. He can't act right. It doesn't matter. If he's in the room, something's going to go down.
Yep.
And if you speak to him, congratulations. The thing that's going down is you. You are going down.
And it's important to note that this is the first instance that we see this of Peter.
Yeah. We introduce Peter and his nonsense with with a crime.
Yes. With a crime. Which I guess it's not like child porn, if, because I think 16 might be age of consent over there, or in some weird ways it is.
If it were in these United States,
yeah,
Peter Stone would be going in jail.
Jail.
But he's a rich straight white man, so he would be on probation with good behavior, essentially free to do it again if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he should be going in jail. So he gets Manny drunk, he gets Emma drunk. Wait, does Emma get drunk?
No, Emma's at this party, but she's talking to other people and like trying to
once again, like, failing her friends by not by letting them wander off with Peter Stone.
Yeah, and she's like she's trying to like play it cool, and then Manny is the one who ends up going upstairs with Peter.
Yeah, and so, and then it's the moment that you and I both love, where she's, I'm gonna be famous.
Gonna be famous.
You can sell this video for $1 million. And like, yeah, much like you also loved that moment. I too loved that moment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I am getting intimate with a man, I go, I'm going to be famous. You're going to sell this video for $1 million, even though we're not recording video right now. But that's actually one of the things that runs through my head. Like, oh yeah, and that's probably why I have terrible taste in men, because that runs through my head. It's Peter Stone. It's always Peter Stone.
It's always Peter Stone. It's always Manny's taste in men.
It's Craig Manning. It's Peter Stone. It's Jay Hogarth till the end there.
Yeah.
But so we get the nudes out.
Yes. And she shows the boobs because she was talking about how Bernice Fine said her boobs suck.
Yeah. So also, just for clarity's sake, like I'm a man, and so this is when we're talking about like body shaming and trying to I thought it was a really interesting choice to have a female casting agent fully body shame this small girl.
Yeah, though she, you know, it was framed in a way of being like, well, it'll balance out your figure, because that's what they always do. They always do the like, well, if you, because like, I think it's not Bernice, it's the plastic surgeon who she goes and sees the consultation, and he goes, well, you see, if we did a little lipo here and transfer the fat here, you'll have a beautiful hourglass. And it's like, that's how they get you. Because they frame it as something that it's not.
Yeah. But, like, it's the thing of, like, every single person who's commenting on Manny's body, it contributes to this mistake that then she is shamed for.
Right, like, exactly.
Why is not every single adult in this room brought in here and going, hey, why the fuck did you say this to this child?
Exactly.
Well, like, it's Bernice Fine. It's this plastic surgeon who, you know, I know someone who works for a plastic surgery office, and they told me, it's like, yeah, you hate yourself real quick because you get real good at telling people exactly what they would get done if they were to get here. And that is not good on the mental health.
No.
And so that scene, you know, from that perspective, accurate. Usually it's not the doctor doing it. Usually it's the consultant at the front desk who will tell you, you know, that lovely hourglass figure that a 16-year-old should be pursuing through surgery. Because puberty's done at 16. That's what happens. Exactly. Right.
It's not like we had a second puberty in our 20s or anything.
Yeah. It's not like your body, you're not even finished yet. And that's, I'm mad about it, but that's what I was supposed to feel mad. They did a good job.
They did a good job.
It's almost like that's the story. Wow, I felt the thing that they told me to feel. Good job. So she has a nude scandal. And this was like the height of like nudes.
Yeah, this is the height scandalo. Of like, yeah, revenge porn and all of that.
Yeah, this is like the nudes would only get worse throughout this decade of like we're focusing a lot on blaming teenage girls or young women for taking nude photos instead of, hey, how come this guy decided to show someone's nude photos that weren't for the public?
Exactly. Why did this boy take out a camera near a drunk girl in the first place?
Yeah, that's not real consent, my dudes.
No, yeah.
So we're bringing all this up, and Manny has to suffer this, you know, everyone is pretty much agreed, you made the moral mistake. Peter gets literally
nothing.
There's no even message really that the writers wrote about, like, Peter is definitely the big wrong person here.
Right.
And he gets redeemed episodes later, or like, oh no, I'm a nice person. Like,
yeah.
As the son of a school administrator.
Yeah.
If I had done even a ghost of what Peter did, my mother would have expelled me immediately. Oh, you're going to reform school in Siberia. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that.
Yeah. Like Daphne, you know, we talk a lot about Daphne Hatzilakos's parenting.
Or lack thereof,
truly. Or lack thereof. But like, you know, she also had to raise half of Degrassi. So.
And she did exactly zero. She tried so many times, and you know what? It's okay that you're not Snake. It's okay. Just don't fuck him. Don't fuck him, Daphne.
Don't fuck him. No. Oh, she did it.
She did it on campus while she was his boss.
They didn't fuck. I think they just kissed.
I think my plot point's pretty much done. The nudes follow her for a while. It's bad. It's traumatic. It's another, you know, sort of notch in the Manny self-esteem
sort
of thing. But also it falls in line with her, like, she's pursuing her goals, her dreams as an actress, and a dude
mm-hmm.
gets in the way, but not because she wants to please Peter. She's literally just drunk and
literally just drunk. She wants to please herself. She wants to, you know, or she wants to stick it to her dad. That's really the thing.
Yeah, she wants to reclaim her body for what
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. And that's a big part of Manny, is reclaiming her own body, which is, you know, like I said before, seemingly public property once she starts, you know, dressing revealing and people think they can say and expect things of her. And then on the flip side of it all, her dad, like, that's really what starts it, is her dad's likeliness. Like, we don't see much of her home life before her abortion, but
probably not the most forgiving home life.
Yeah, probably not the most forgiving. Probably a lot of talk of purity culture and you know, your body is a temple, don't let anyone touch your body, blah blah blah, all that stuff. Like, even when she's dating Jay, and Jay and her are kissing, and her dad knows they're dating, but when he finds them kissing, he like freaks out because he's got these, like, you know, very old-fashioned ideas, probably cultural ideas of body purity.
And I was just gonna say, like, she, like, even her first action was, like, of, you know, her body's herself. She gives her virginity before she's ready, and mm-hmm. then her body, like, is her dad's. Then it's kind of Craig's for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's this unborn baby's house for a minute. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
No, yeah, that was beautiful, because, like, you're exactly right. It's, like, she wants to reclaim her body, but in the process, it keeps ending up in other people's hands. She's like, no, it's mine. And that's really why she shows her boobies on camera, because it's, you know, it's an empowerment thing. Like, you can, as a woman, you can be empowered by whatever you're empowered by. Some women are empowered by showing things that we're always told are gross and dirty and need to be put away, when they're just parts of us. And that's, you know, like, that's a whole thing in itself. But yeah, I love that whole arc for Manny. I love that, you know, it's another thing that she has to then grow from and, like, and prove herself out of. And I guess that doesn't necessarily lead into my point, but you talked a lot about her career goals as an actress, and that is my final plot point, is her pursuing her career and exiting from the show. Manny, what I love, and I know we always do this, we say this could have been foresight. We know for a fact it wasn't. We know for a fact it wasn't foresight, okay? But first episode post the first two episodes, so, like, the first episodes that actually take place during the school year, after Mother and Child Reunions Part 1 and 2, Manny and Emma walk into the halls of Degrassi, and they are approached by a young chubby Spinner Mason, and he starts, you know, picking on them, and he picks on them throughout the episode. Like, he, like, you know, it's like, oh, you guys need a hall pass and blah, blah, like, all that stuff. And so they're like, how do we two lowly seventh graders, oh no, this is Canada, two lowly grade sevens, how do we combat these mean, scary grade eights? And so toward the end of the episode, Manny acts. She acts her way out of it. She, Spinner picks on her somehow, and then she goes, and she cries on cue. And Spinner is, like, you know, freaking out because he made this grade seven cry. And who was it? I think Ashley or Paige or someone walks by, and they're like, wow, Spin, great job. You made a seventh grader cry. And then they're, like, judging him. Yeah. And he gets, you know, his ego blow. And then he walks off, and Manny reveals that she was acting the whole time. And I know for a fact that is not foresight. They did not plant that to be like, one day Manny will be a beautiful actress. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
I like to think that it was a plant and payoff, but I know it wasn't.
I can say it's a parlay of, like, you know your character. Manny's clever. Manny is...
she acts on her feet.
Yeah, she's performative. She's street smart in that sense of, like, how am I going to get what I want? You're a big boy. I'm a little girl. How do we get out of this? That parlays into, you know, actors need all of those things. So even though it wasn't a direct plant and payoff, I think knowing your character well enough to be like, what's she going to be?
Yeah, and it's like a natural, it feels like a natural progression for that character. Yeah. Like, that's a thing about Emma where it's like, yeah, we have a great sense of self for Emma, but, like, could you really figure out what she, like, exactly what she would do as her career? No, she's got a lot of options. And that's, you know, that ends up being Emma's own, like...
And that's, like, the series, you know?
Yeah, that ends up being Emma's own, like, personal fall is, like, oh, I've got so many options. Malfunction. Whereas for Manny, the path is kind of clear. She's like, oh, well, I'm smart, I'm... great, I'm performative, I'm all these things, and I love attention, so I'm gonna be an actor.
Yes.
And that's
relatable.
Yeah, relatable. We're two actors. I'm not an actor anymore, but, like, I've been an actor, and we can relate, and so we get to see her act throughout the series, and all the different ways I love, because it's like, first we get to see her do that little bit of acting to get Spinner off her back. Then she takes his virginity and...
and never calls again.
And then she does Kevin Smith. She does the Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian.
She doesn't do Kevin Smith.
She does not do Kevin Smith. She does Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian A, which is when she really discovers her love for acting. Then we get to see her... take part in the little, like, what is it, like, the little, like, oh, first, before then, it's the Dracula play.
Oh yeah,
she's in that, like, vaguely, right? Like, yeah, she's not, like, any huge role, but she's in it.
Yeah, because Emma's the one who with the ingenue part, because she's gonna give that man a social disease and he says nope, not today.
Right, exactly. And Manny's, like, in it or around it. Then we get to see her in the, like, the 60s, what is it with Darcy, the little, like, cabaret that they do, like, dancing through the years, through the decades.
I blocked that hard.
We get to see Manny in that, which is when she and Darcy have, like, their fight. Then in season, I think it's season 7, is when she, or season 5, obviously, she does the whole thing with Bernice Fine, and she tries to act professionally, and then, you know, it blows up in her face. And then she gets, I think she gets Bernice Fine, doesn't she? She gets her representation.
Yes.
Or something of that nature, and she gets an audition for West Drive, which is their in-universe version of Degrassi. And she almost takes it, but she's going to Smithdale in the fall, and she can't do both, so she has to choose, and she ends up choosing her education over this really fast opportunity, because, like, yes, it would have been a great, like,
start.
What's it called? Yeah, a great start, you know, but as a lot of people on the show say, like, oh, West Drive is failing, like, oh, their ratings are going down, like, it's a sinking ship. So, like, would you rather jump onto a sinking ship while it's sinking, or would you rather pursue your education and maybe get other skills out of it while you are in a college setting? Which, you know, is a question for a lot of actors in who choose to go to college. Like, sometimes it's not the best option.
This is a mentality back when college was, like, everyone should go. And now it's, like, maybe because, like, West Drive was still going up till next class, so, like, yeah, well, clearly that ship wasn't sinking so bad.
They couldn't know that in 2006-7. They couldn't know that in 2007 that it would last till 2015.
But you know what? Sometimes, you know what? What could have been?
I bet people were saying that about Degrassi when they were in season 6, and they were like, "Oh, this show is getting old," and then it kept going.
All those great Canadian actors who missed out on their parts on Degrassi because they said it's a failing show.
It's a failing show. Yeah. So yeah, like she chooses Smithdale instead of this quick opportunity on West Drive. And that starts out great. That starts out awesome for her. You know, until she has an affair with her acting teacher.
Manny!
Why would you do it? Think of all your acting teachers. Would you ever fuck any of them?
Yes, but...
Oh.
Well, and here's the problem. Acting teachers go one of two ways. Weird, like, parental figures that you wouldn't trust with, like, with sharp objects, or oh my god, like, he's just so deep and he's so knowledgeable, oh, and god. I wanna, like, learn from it.
Like, I was gonna say, the thing is, two people who went to theater school, we know that acting class is an extremely vulnerable place.
Yes.
And with that comes immense opportunity for the people in charge of that class to take advantage of their students. Mm-hmm. And that is likely what happened with Manny and whatever that man with the mustache's name is. Mr. Mustache. Because she was likely in his class. He forced her to do some, like, emotionally, like, he probably was like, I was like, think of the she's doing. What's a monologue?
Oh, she's doing the Anne Frank monologue that every
she's doing Anne Frank. She's doing Anne Frank, and he goes, "All right, think of the most traumatizing moment of your life." And naturally, Manny's like, "Well, maybe the time that I had a fetus sucked from my body." He's like, "All right, now use it." And then once you use it, then you're wrecked emotionally for, like, the day.
Yeah.
And then he probably was like, "Manny, stay after class." And she was like, "Sure." And then they fucking made out or whatever.
Made out over your abortion trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, which is 100% what happened. And so she makes the ill decision to have an affair with a man who treats her like garbage and tells her that she's not talented and blah, 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 when that's just not true. And she, obviously, this is in Degrassi Goes Hollywood, where she then leaves to pursue Jay and Silent Bob, not Jay and Silent Bob, the Jason musical or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Because she knows she's good for this part. And then she gets it. And it works out great for her because she moves to L.A., she becomes a barista. Like, I think they say it in an episode. Like, Emma's like, "Oh yeah, Manny's like making coffee while she's going to auditions." Like, she ends up leaving Smithdale and going to pursue her dreams in LA, which I love for her.
Yeah, it's a good fit.
Unfortunate that she wasted a year of tuition on Smithdale.
But also relatable and real, you know? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people who, like, went to school and, like, you know that person who was in your freshman acting class, then they just vanished.
Yeah. And it's, like, there was somebody, I was a transfer when I went to UCLA, but there was somebody who left the acting program right before I got there who became a series regular on 13 Reasons Why on Netflix, so... she ends up living the life of an LA actor, and I'm assuming going on to do great things. And I love that for her character. Like, it's an end that makes sense. It's nothing that, you know, comes out of nowhere. And it just works. I love that. So I guess we can dive on into the ships, which, like, she's got a sizable amount, but, like, not as money as Gavin Spinner Mason.
Yeah, not the armada of ships, but she does have a lovely harbor with a couple of ships in there.
Honestly, she might have the same amount. Like, we're gonna skip over the college professor.
Yeah, that's not a ship. That's a little dinghy.
Yeah,
stupid dinghy. It was
literally just there as a plot device to make Manny less confident.
Yes.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ex-boyfriends.
Oh, Jesus. My God.
Jesus H. Christ. Okay. So I guess we got to start it with one Mr. Big Dick Manning.
Oh, come on. Come through, Big Dick Manning. Come Oh, Big Dick Manning.
Gregory
Diggory Duck. And that giant horse hung cock.
Oh my god. But so all Manny has done in seasons 2 to 5 was
chase that dick.
Chase that giant dick.
That canonically huge cock.
Canonically huge dick. Like you know. Craig uh-huh. is hung. And Manny had it once and went, you know what?
I gotta get back on that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she like, okay. So obviously Craig and Manny, toxic. It's trash. Yes. But like, I love the Girls Just Want to Have Fun is one of my favorite episodes. I've talked about this a lot.
Oh yeah.
And that's the episode where Craig and Manny it's the very first spark. And then obviously, well, it doesn't stay that cute. They go on a date. It's Manny's first date ever. It's really cute. They go to the little carnival thing, and obviously it's told from 2 different perspectives. Iconic. Yes. And Craig sees her as a little girl, and she decides that if he's going to see her as a little girl, she needs to change that. So he's really the whole catalyst for why she decides to start being sexy and being every guy's dream girl.
Craig Catalyst Horsecock Manning.
Yes. And finally, once she gets that, like, sexual energy, is able to get Craig, but, like, not fully, because he's still dating Ashley, and he decides to cheat on Ashley with Manny multiple times. And
Gregory.
Yeah. And Manny, in classic side chick fashion, is like, when are you gonna break up with your girlfriend? And he's like, sometime. And he does not end up breaking up with Ashley. In fact, it takes Ashley finding out that he's cheating on her at Christmas time, when he fucks up the presents, and she finds Manny's present and finds Manny wearing the present after he told Manny that he already broke up with Ashley. It's the bracelet and the fuzzy sweater, and all that. And so, yeah, Craig, garbage. And then the pregnancy happens. And yes. Like I said before, she finally gets Craig, like, all to herself, but she knows that it is costing her own life and her own happiness. So she aborts the baby, much to Craig's dismay, which yeah. I've talked about before. I think I talked about it in the Craig episode, where I feel for Craig in that moment.
Yes.
Where it's like, he's an orphan.
Yeah, he just wants a family. And then, and like, he wasn't really that crazy about Manny until
yeah.
the baby came in. It's like, oh, I can exactly. finally have a family. And Manny finally gets, like, oh, he's never going to want me in the way that I want him to want me.
Exactly, exactly.
If I solidify into this, it's going to be a disaster exactly. for me, specifically.
Precisely. So when she aborts the baby, she also aborts her relationship with Craig.
She said, abort mission, abort mission. Abort everyone mission. Out of here. Everyone out of here.
And it's after the abortion. And those couple seasons between abortion and them getting back together in season 5, I think is my personal sweet spot for Cranny, is that little moment when they're not together. This is post-abortion, pre-reconciliation. They're not together. She dates JT and Spinner in this time. And
I forgot she dated JT.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about JT. We're going to talk about Jitani. That's my personal favorite spot for Craig and Manny, because they're not together, but they develop a little bit of, like, a respect for each other, where, like, when Manny does have, like, the nude scandal, we see Craig, like, Craig's always, like, obviously there's animosity there, but yeah. Craig is never talking poorly about Manny. In fact, he's defending her a lot. And we notice he has this, like, protectiveness over her, which then I think, like, when she has the nudes leak, he, like, is not. Like, he's like, oh my God, no, I don't want to see this. He covers his eyes and he peeks through his fingers. Like, it's that whole little thing of him being weirdly, like, protective over her, which I have talked about this before, I think is the reason they get back together in season 5. He doesn't really like her. Like, in my opinion, he doesn't seem like he likes her. He's just going back. He's reverting back to something that's familiar to him because he's afraid of pursuing what he wants to pursue with Ellie.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, them being back together in season 5 never really felt right to me. And he seems like he only does it because he wants to, like, save her. Like, he wants, because he's like, oh, she's had a pretty shitty year. She got kicked out by her parents. She had a nude scandal. I should give her my love so that, you know, I can feel important right now. And that's kind of what
it's happens. That weird amends thing where, like, you fuck up and you think, oh, I'm going to throw them a bone and be in a relationship with them.
Right, exactly.
It's the thing that hot people do all the time.
All the time.
Hot people are like, oh my God, you're having such a rough day. I'll go on a date with you.
Yep. She gets off on the high of Craig liking her. Like, she loves, like, she, like, it doesn't even matter if she likes him in that moment. She gets off on the high that she has finally, like, snagged that man. And so she obviously, like, gives into it, and they are together for the remainder of season 5 into season 6 when, you know, he comes back with a coke addiction and then blames it on her like an asshole.
Because Craig got a Craig, my dudes. Mm-hmm.
That is the definitive end of Cranny. Is him getting a coke addiction and then blaming it on her. So yeah, that's Craig and Manny. Like, I like them way more as a potential friendship than I like them together. Like, I love the idea of them having been together at one time, going through, you know, the trauma of that abortion together, and then having a mutual respect and protectiveness over each other is like peak Craig and Manny for me.
I 100% agree. I never really liked them together, mostly because mm-hmm. I hated the way Craig treats everybody in his life.
Yeah.
And I think it just hurt more knowing how much Manny wanted Craig.
Yeah.
It was just so. It was years in the making. And it just mm-hmm. made it that much harder to, like, watch.
Exactly. And Cassie and Jake have excellent chemistry, though. Like, that, it's like watching
them
together. Yeah, watching them together is fantastic. She has great chemistry with everybody. So, yeah, I guess from there, we can hit up JT and Manny, which, you know, it's short-lived.
But it happens.
It happens. It's, you know, I have a theory that they did JT and Manny when they decided Toby and Emma wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Because
that was kind of the time when Toby got a little bit sidelined. And it's because they were like, yeah, this whole idea for Toby being the best friend that would then get to date Emma is kind of shelved for now. Let's give this dynamic to somebody else. And this is in the period of time where JT is avoiding liking Liberty and Manny is fresh out of abortion gate.
She's escaped the gates of abortion.
And so they kind of it's like a weird courtship, because it's not like, oh, my best friend, I'm falling for my best friend. It's never that. It's really formal. Like, JT's like, will you go out with me? And she's like, I mean, you're JT. But then she decides to anyway. Then she decides to, and it really is not, it doesn't do much for either of them except give JT a complex about his penis.
And then penis pumps happen. And then penis pump
happens. Yeah. Yeah. They break up because of the penis pump. Partly because, like, the wiki says that they break up because Manny thinks that JT is too childish and immature. But I think the more important reason there is the instant sexualization of her to him. Like, because he knows, because it's like they were friends before and their dating is, their relationship is pretty new. But just the fact that he knows that she has had sex with Craig, he thinks that, you know, like we said before, like her, he assumes things of her. And it's not that he like necessarily really wants to have sex with her. He just thinks like, oh, well,
that's going to happen.
Exactly. This is a girl that has sex. Guess I'm losing my virginity now. Time to purchase a penis pump. And like, that seems like the more logical reason why Manny would want to end things after that, because it's like, she's literally just now coming out of a very traumatic event of her life that involves her sex. And she's like, I would like to not have any expectations on me regarding that. And JT didn't hold up that. They were like cute and funny while they were together, but clearly he was
a placeholder
and also like not like mature, maturity level definitely wasn't reaching there, especially like not even like, oh, he's too wacky, too goofy. It's more so Manny's been through stuff now that
she's just more she's ahead.
Yeah, she's been through a lot more than JT has been through at this point, and he would never be able to get it. Be able to get it.
And he and Liberty are more in the same space, so
exactly
they're a better match for each other.
Exactly. And they would then get to grow sexually together, which would then prove to be the demise of James Tiberius York. But
stay tuned.
Stay tuned next week. So yeah, then there's Manny and Spinner, which, you know, equally sweet and placeholdery.
Yeah, it's another choices for Manny.
Yeah. Like I really like them at the beginning. Like, I like the flirtatiousness. I like the Spinner nearly cheating on Paige thing.
Yeah, that's a real power move. Like,
Manny's like, oh, I'll never be a side chick again. I mean, maybe if it's the girl that I can't stand.
Yeah, I have motivation now. I'm not doing this for the boy. I'm doing this at the girl.
Yeah. And so, like, they have that whole little flirtation going on. Like, I like them at the beginning. I think they're really cute. And I like, because they get together at that Valentine's dance, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Because she's, like, pursuing fucking, what's his name? Chester. Because he's the new kid and he doesn't know her past. Like, that's kind of the important part, is that she's like, oh, I'm going to pursue Chester because he doesn't know my reputation. And meanwhile, Spinner is her friend who they've been flirting together this whole time.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what about me? And she's like, well, you're not a clean slate. Like, I want somebody who doesn't know me. But then when she realizes that Chester really doesn't know her and he doesn't get her, where, like I said in the Spinner episode, Manny and Spinner are very similar energies. Like,
yes,
their Myers-Briggs is probably the same. They're probably both ENFPs. And
wow, way to at me, except for I'm a J, but
yeah, I am an ENFP. And like, they, like, they're both the same in energies, so they get each other in that sense, but at the same time, they don't balance each other out. Like, it's a, them being together is a lot of like fun chaos, and like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's never gonna work out, but she does snatch that virginity.
She snatches it right up. She's like, if I were in the position, I'd be like, okay, yeah, like, this is clearly not going anywhere, but like, while I'm here, I might as well. So like, Spinner and Manny, cute, definitely placeholdery, whatever. And then it's Craig again.
Then it's back to Craig.
After Craig, it is Manny dates Damien. He and Manny work together in the bringing Lakehurst and Degrassi, like, they're trying to mend the feud because they've been, you know, this is at the point in time where Lakers and Degrassi have like all this animosity just because of like the fights and the bullying and all that stuff. This is before JT's death. And so they first get together, they don't get together, but like they kiss at the party that JT would eventually pass away at. And I think, doesn't she try to set him up with Liberty at first? And then
I think so, yeah.
Because like then she, like that's why she invites him to the party or something. And then they end up like dancing together, and it turns out that Liberty still has feelings for JT, and Manny's like, well, there's a hot guy here, can't let him go to waste.
Yeah, looks like I am once again getting a man that was meant for someone else.
Yeah,
a friend of mine.
So she and Damien like kiss at the party, and then once JT is stabbed by those guys from Lakehurst, their mission now is to bring Lakehurst and Degrassi together, in a sense that Degrassi needs to not be calling all of Lakehurst JT murderers. And then they have like a weird racism plot line in season seven. Like, it's a weird thing where like they are together, but then they're like, you know what, we're not working out, let's break up. And then he goes like, it's because I'm black, doesn't it? Or isn't it? And then Holly J overhears and then like spreads a rumor that Manny's a racist all around the school. It's a weird plot.
Yeah, this was back when Holly J was actively pursuing worst woman alive status.
Yeah, this is when Holly J was just choosing violence every time she opened her mouth.
Manny Santos is a racist. She hates black people.
Like, what? Where was it? Was the weird, and like he clearly said it as a joke, but
yeah, and that was the best part, was that it's two people of color joking about the race thing.
Exactly.
And then the white woman said she's racist.
Exactly.
That's a level. That's a new level.
And then I think what's funny about the Damien and Manny breakup, like, they're a cute, like, mid-game where it's just like, oh, like, they were, you know, they were working on opposite ends of a project, blah, blah, blah. Like, they got together. And then they break up amicably. And,
yeah.
Like, it's cute. And my favorite part about it is immediately after they break up, he goes, so, is Emma single? After Damien... Is that finally Jay? It's finally Jay.
I think
Jay.
It's finally Jay.
Yeah. So then we talked about this recently, so we don't have to go too deep into it. But Manny meets, or she doesn't meet him because she's already known him, but Manny is introduced to the relationship that would change her life. Mm-hmm. That of one Mr. Jason Hogarth. And I, you know, We love Janny so much.
We do.
I love Janny a lot. Like, they have the best chemistry out of all of Manny's ships, and that's saying something because she has great chemistry with like everyone.
Yeah, because Jay does the thing better than anyone else, where he infuriates her.
Yes,
he just annoys the crap out of her.
Mm-hmm.
In a sexy way,
and it's, you know, it's not necessarily an enemies to lovers trope. But it is a...
You're like, fucking annoying and I want to kiss you thing.
Yeah. Like, it's a we're here, we're in this relationship out of convenience, obligation, because it's a fake dating trope, if you didn't already know. And they're in this relationship out of convenience, and he gets on her fucking nerves because he keeps doing everything right instead of wrong. And
you're supposed
like,
to annoy my dad, not make him like you. Mm-hmm. You stupid, handsome man with symmetrical lips.
Exactly. And like, they're and you know, we get to watch them take this whole journey together, where Jay really proves himself. Like, their entire relationship makes Jay a likable guy. Like, he, up until this point, Jay was shit. He was giving girls gonorrhea. He was cheating on his girlfriend. He was getting guys shot.
Yeah, he was standard fare for Manny Santos, a piece of shit man.
So, yeah, Jay and Manny are, like, they're just such, like, we watch Jay grow so much in his relationship with Manny, and we watch Manny get to, because, like, at the point that she and Jay are first, like, getting together, she's hardened by, like, her past with men at this point.
And she's hardened by the side of her.
Yes. She's emotionally hardened by her past with men. And she wants to keep things like at an arm's length because right now she's career driven. And she's like, I'm not going to do what I did in the past, which is let boys ruin my life. And
she's actually weaponizing the patriarchy against the patriarchy by using Jay as a fake boyfriend.
Exactly, exactly. She's like, you know what? My dad's patriarchal attitude can be fought with a shitty boyfriend. And so she's so like not about falling in love at this point that it makes the fact that she falls in love that much better because it's so not what she wanted. Like she's been chasing it this whole time.
And then the one time she didn't want to, that's when the man shows up. The man of her dreams or nightmares.
The man of her nightmares then becomes the man of her dreams. And it's so cute. And like, they're a fan favorite ship 100%. Because like, people talk about, like, I made a TikTok being like, you think season 6 and 7 are good seasons of Degrassi? What is one good plotline in either of those seasons that isn't horribly depressing? And a bunch of people were like, Jay and Manny. And I was like, you know what? You are 100% correct.
Yeah.
Like, they are the one good thing about season 7.
And their end game, which is the best and their part.
They're engaged. They stay engaged. He takes her to Hollywood to get that acting job, and
that whole arc was beautiful where he proves himself and she's like, oh my god, he cares,
he showed up for me.
Any bachelor fans showed up for me.
But yeah, and it just warms my heart to finally see Manny get treated the way she deserves, and not just treated like shit or like, you know, used as like just one of a number. Like she really means something to Jay, and it's, you know, obviously scary for her to experience that really for the first time, especially with someone like Jay, who is notoriously known for making women's lives harder.
Exactly.
But for her to know that she is the exception and that she has reformed, not through any effort of her own, but that his love for her has reformed him, must feel really good. And that's, you know, that's why I love this ship for Manny. It's really great for her. It's healthy for her. It's healthy for Jay. And it's finally something that we can cheer, like that we can feel
we can
good
celebrate.
About supporting. Yeah, like we can feel good about supporting them. Because it's like, when she's with Craig, of course I'm like, yes, drama. But I'm, you know, it's like, I don't
Not
want
forever.
This for her. Yeah, it's like, I don't want this for her, but I do want LEV looking at her mad like this. Like,
We love the drama.
Yeah, it's like, I love the drama, but it's even better to see her get treated the way she deserves. All right, so that was, we hit all the ships.
We
hit
sure
all the
did.
Plot points. I guess that's just leaves. When is a time that you were such a Manny?
Oh, when to begin? Well, I never think of these. There was a time in my life where I prioritized, where I did prioritize men and what they thought and what they sort of, I don't know, how I saw myself, how I saw my body, how I saw, you know, things about me that were supposed to be about me and not about someone else's view of me. And I kind of led my life with the idea that I had to perform a certain way in order to get certain people to like me.
Right.
Like, I fully was incapable of believing that men could be friends with me unless they wanted to have sex with me first.
Right.
And, you know, so when I watched, you know, Degrassi and I rewatched it back, I went, wow, you know, we really do be relating. Can't a man just want to be friends with a girl without wanting to see her boobies just once?
Right.
Couldn't you just once?
And, right.
You know, I think of all of my wonderful male friends who I have now who are like, I've never once touched their dingle dangles, nor would I ever want to. And you never wanted to for me either. And that's so great.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing where, like, once you realize, you know, you start doing things for yourself, you start claiming your sexuality, but in a way that is, you know, healthy for you, and you stumble a lot.
Right.
I have stumbled a lot with that. I have slipped back into letting men make things difficult for me and my own viewpoint of what men want from me. I still am working on finding my own Jay Hogarth, if you will.
We all are.
See? Aren't we all? Aren't we all? But, like, I was a Manny when I figured out, you know, you can take action and reclaim yourself and allow yourself to make mistakes and still keep moving forward. Just keep pursuing that dream of, you know, working for yourself, being respected, and, you know, and be ostentatious while you do it.
Yeah, I agree. In addition to that, I also I've talked about this before. I also had, like, a strangled relationship with my parents where I've often felt like my body is not my own, in the sense that, like, my mother had a tendency, still does, but, like, especially in my childhood, my mother had a tendency to police my eating and make comments about my body and make comments about the way in which my body is perceived by people around me, mostly men. I was one of those people who my mom always told me, like, oh, cover up if, you know, a man is in the house. And it's like, my father, my grandfather, what? They changed my diapers. What are you talking about? It's because, like, it's the, you know, the sexualization of girls, especially girls of color, who have developed early in life, like me, that really messes with our heads later. Cause it's like, I had to make an active decision in my adulthood to, like, to realize that my boobs aren't dirty and disgusting and need to be covered up all the time. Or, like, if they are showing, like, if cleavage is showing, that's not bad. That's just my body. And I am such an advocate for, like, body neutrality, especially, like, in young kids. Like, it allows them to feel an autonomy, and it allows them to feel like, this is just my body. It's a neutrality. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And, like, obviously we need to protect them from people who,
but make it the adult's problem. Don't make it the child's problem.
Exactly.
If there's a man in the house who might sexualize your child, don't let the man in the house.
Exactly. Precisely. And that is something that I've had to unlearn as an adult, with my own sexuality. And it's still hard. But, you know, we're getting there. And, I think that's why Manny is such a loved and relatable character, because so many of us, like, she speaks to no offense, but she speaks to, like, the sluts of the world. You know what I mean?
Listen, I am reclaiming that word for myself. I'm a proud slut. I'm a proud slut.
And I'm happy for you. I didn't get to comment much on your thing because I started talking about mine, but, like, yeah, like, I respect you for growing from all of that, because it is shitty to have all of those assumptions and, like, things thrown at you because of the way that you choose to pursue your sexuality, in the sense of, like, you know, promiscuity or whatever you would like to call it.
And but, I also really respect that you're working on dismantling bullshit that full-grown adults told you when you were a kid.
Yeah, it's like, Manny speaks to the sluts of the world. She speaks to the woman experience. She speaks to the woman of color experience, and she speaks to the first generation of, like, migrant family experience. So it's like, she's got all the intersectionality right there. And that's why so many people love and relate to her, because we can all find something that we see in ourselves in Manny. And we get to love that about ourselves because we love Manny so much. They make her so incredible and lovable, and we get to feel that love for ourselves, you know?
And she rightly gets to be a star in the end, because she is.
Exactly. Precisely. I got, like, choked up saying that.
Well, she's only your favorite character and the reason you started this podcast.
Truly.
And oh my God, it's a positive note.
It's a positive note.
And, like, look, we're all going through real shit at the moment. And sometimes a little bit of fucking hope in some media. Where it's a formative experience for us that's positive, you know, this show speaks to us for a reason, and this character spoke to a significant amount of its fans for a reason. She's well-crafted, she's a hero, and she does so in a way that isn't preachy or pejorative or patting on the head. She's gritty, she goes through it, but she still maintains her humanity and her joy and her light, I guess.
Exactly. That is exactly it. Like, she stays being such a light in all of her friends' lives. Like, she stays being, like, the funny one, the one that is trying to get, like, Spike is literally going through a divorce and Manny's like, we should get a stripper.
Yes. She is that energy. She keeps the energy going.
Yeah. And I still strive to be more like Manny Santos every single day.
We all should.
We really should.
My favorite Manny moment is when she takes off her top and gets recorded. No, I'm kidding. My favorite Manny moment is when, after Darcy gets sexually assaulted, she works with Peter to get Darcy's abstinence ring back. And I think that shows just how amazing Manny is and how much of a good friend she is to the people around her. I know at this point, her and Peter were okay, but still, I think it shows just how awesome she is when it comes to her friends and trying to support them no matter what the cost or no matter what they did or what they've been through. Eventually she will help them and forgive them no matter what. The same with when Emma was going through her eating disorder. It shows how awesome of a friend that Manny is, and I see a lot of Manny in Keely, despite what she may think, because Keely's an amazing friend and I love her, and I'm so happy to be a part of this. And yeah.
So I guess that is our episode, our Manny-palooza. So where can people find you on social media, Daniel?
I am Danny Boy Herman across all platforms. My OnlyFans will be dropping sometime within tomorrow in the next 50 years.
I can't. Oh my God. I am at OMG It's Key across platforms. That's Instagram and TikTok. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram. Oh, right. We're coming at you on our new upload day. I forgot to say that in the beginning. Hi from Monday. Like, this this is a new day.
Hello, Monday. Comes through Monday.
Yeah, if you don't follow us on Instagram, that's where I posted that we would be switching our upload day from Friday to Monday, just to make editing easier for myself. So, yeah, you can follow the podcast on Instagram if you don't already. That's where we have all of our updates for things like that. That's at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram. You can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. And next week is our final episode of this group of characters. Can you believe it?
I believe it. And I am excited.
I'm so excited. This really proves that we got through it. We got through a first chunk of characters. And it's our last one. It's JT York. Are you? Mm-hmm. It's going to be me, you, and Aaron, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Awesome.
Please don't say that.
It's the phrase now. That's what we call it. It's a threesome. But I'm so excited because after JT, we're going to have a couple weeks of fun episodes, little like bonus episodes here and there, and then we're gonna dive into the next group of characters, which I know a lot of people have been waiting for. They're personally, I won't say my favorite group to talk about, because I actually much prefer talking about the really later characters, but they're a fun group. Like,
they're the group that got me started, for sure.
Yeah, same. Like, there are definitely, like, some of my first exposures to Degrassi in this next group of characters. So I am so excited to continue this podcast, continue this journey, grow with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and continue to enjoy episodes in the future. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.